Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, the co-chairman of the IBM Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Dan Gregory Blair. Dan's the Deputy Director of the Office of Personnel Management. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Great. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for the invitation.
And also with us this morning is Nicole Gardner. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Dan.
Hello, Nicole.
Well, Dan, perhaps you could start by talking to us about OPM. Give us a sense of its mission and the activities.
The Office of Personnel Management, or OPM, serves as the principal advisor to the President on federal personnel issues. We're an agency of approximately 3,600 employees strong. Our workforce includes employees who possess a broad swath of specialties, including people with expertise in budget, finance, security administration, personnel management, computer security, telecommunications. Our mission is to build a high-quality and diverse federal workforce based on merit system principles that America needs to guarantee its freedom, prosperity, and ensure the security of our nation. Our goals are threefold. First, we want federal agencies to adopt human resources management systems that improve their ability to build successful, high-performing organizations. We work to see that federal agencies use effective merit-based human capital strategies to create a rewarding work environment that accomplishes those missions. And we meet the needs of the federal agencies, employees, and annuitants through the delivery of efficient and effective products and services such as our retirement system, our life, health insurance systems, and long-term care programs as well.
I'm surprised when you told us about the number of employees and the wide range of skills. I would have thought intuitively these are all HR-focused folks.
In operating an agency, you need to have a wide variety of skills. We have a CFO. We need people with top financial management skills. We need people with top tech skills. I think we'll go into this later in the discussion, but OPM is the lead agency on five of the e-government initiatives that span across government. So we need people with top IT skills. And so we need people with a breadth and depth in a wide variety of skills, knowledges, and abilities.
So, Dan, you've given us sort of the broad context. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do specifically as the deputy director?
Well, if you look at Title V, which is the basis for our authority at the Office of Personnel Management, it says that the deputy director's functions are those of the director may from time to time assign him or her. That's pretty broad, and I will say that this director, Kay Coles James, has given me quite a full plate. I serve on the President's Council on Integrity and Efficiency, which is the Inspector's General Council, ferreting out waste, fraud, and abuse across government. I assist the director on any projects that she may deem necessary. For instance, I was the lead on implementing our recent restructuring. Effective March 3rd, we have a restructured OPM, which is intended to better deliver our goods and services and serve our customers better. One of the first tasks that the director assigned me when I came to OPM was to fix the hiring process, and we've been working hard on that. I am the chief point of contact to the veterans community because, as you know, the federal government serves as the largest employer of veterans in the country. I help oversee the combined federal campaign. And also, I will from time to time testify on Capitol Hill on various issues. For instance, last year I testified before the House Treasury Postal Appropriations Subcommittee. In addition, I testified before one of the government reform subcommittees last December on our federal employee health benefits program. So as you can see, I have a broad plate of responsibilities.
Well, and Kay Coles James is a very dynamic personality. She has a very broad and very aggressive vision for the federal workforce. So I'm sure that it's an exciting, exciting position. And it's got obviously a lot of diversity to it. Now, you've had a very interesting career with lots of different positions and turns. Can you tell people a little bit about how you got to where you are?
Oh, it's been a long, interesting story. I started in Washington out of law school. I'm a graduate of the University of Missouri School of Law in Columbia, Missouri, and I came to work for my local congressman from Missouri, and I was a staffer on the former House Post Office and Civil Service Committee. That was the House of Representatives Committee charged with jurisdiction, oversight jurisdiction of the Civil Service and the Postal Service. what I thought was a short-term assignment turned into about a 10-year assignment. And I served there as the chief Republican counsel. After the 1994 elections, that committee and several other committees were combined to form the House Government Reform and Oversight. And I worked there for 3 years as a subcommittee staff director on the subcommittee charged with oversight of the Postal Service. Beginning in January of 1998, I moved over to the other body, as they call it, on Capitol Hill, from the House side anyway. I moved over to the Senate, working for former Senator Fred Thompson as senior counsel on the Senate Governmental Affairs Committee, where, again, was charged. My portfolio included oversight of the civil service, government ethics, federal budget process reform, and the Postal Service. And so I've seen it from one angle for almost 17 years, and then I was tapped by the president to be the deputy director and work for Kay Coles James at the Office of Personnel Management. It's a phenomenal opportunity.
When you think about your career, is there any one experience or set of experiences that best prepared you for this position?
I don't think there would be one thing that best prepare you. I came to OPM having seen it for years in operation, but never internally. And I saw its strengths. I also saw its weaknesses. And so I was prepared for the agency when I came down there. That said, I've been very impressed with the caliber of employees that we have, their dedication to hard work, and their ability to really turn on a dime in carrying out a wide variety of tasks at a moment's notice. We have a tough job right now. We're entering into, we're engaged in a war against terrorism, and our public service are asked to operate in a stressful environment. And people recognize that. That said, I think that we have a tremendous federal workforce, and I'm very honored to be part of it and to be serving this administration.
What drew you to HR? You were a lawyer, come to Washington, and you end up in HR.
HR is people-oriented, and I think that the emphasis is funny here now. Funny in the sense that for most of the past couple of decades, the emphasis of congressional oversight has not been on civil service reform so much as it has been on the budgetary aspects. I was part of the staff effort, which drew up the new federal employee retirement system in the mid-1980s. We looked at the federal employee health benefit systems and saw how that needed reforms, the long-term care systems. But beginning in the mid to late 1990s, we saw that a huge number of program failures across government that were occurring could always be traced back to not having the right people in the right place with the right skills. When David Walker was confirmed as the Comptroller General of GAO, he brought a new level of enthusiasm and commitment to this issue area. Worked on a number of reports that the Senate Governmental Affairs put out under Senator Thompson's name, which we highlighted program failures, but we also highlighted the fact that the downsizing that occurred in the 1990s, while reducing the size of government, often ended up with agencies being anorexic in terms that they lost people with needed skills, knowledges, and abilities, and weren't able to really carry out their function. So we have a new shift in the emphasis right now, and the shift is on viewing people not as a burden or not as just a cost, but viewing them as a resource. And then with the confirmation of Kay James as OPM director, she's breathed new life into the concept of HR, human capital. And it's been a tremendous change in the way of thinking that people are indeed our best asset in the federal government. And she's been leading that charge and at the forefront of that fight of getting people to recognize throughout government and outside of government that indeed federal employees are up to the challenge.
I'd be curious in your perspective. You grew up in the House and the Senate on the legislative side. Now you're in the executive branch working the same issue. Could you compare and contrast the differences, similarities, management style, approaches to issues?
Well, I think in the House and Senate, you have a great amount of autonomy for each individual office. And now I'm working in a large organization, 3,500 people. But if you compare it to the new Department of Homeland Security of 170,000, we're still small. So that was a cultural change for me. That said, the two bodies of government operate with distinct missions and with distinct styles and differences. The House and Senate Congress's duties are to pass laws. The executive branch carries those out. It was interesting. I helped secure the passage of the long-term care legislation. and then I was on the other end helping to carry it out. And so you can see, you get an interesting perspective of being able to see from the inside what those on the outside don't see. And you sit back and go, if I'd only known that when I sat in this other position. That said, I think it gives you a well-roundedness that not everyone has that opportunity to have. And it's been a phenomenal experience this last year and a half.
That's a good stopping point. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our conversation with Dan Gregory Blair of OPM. What are the management challenges of standing up a new department? We'll ask Dan to tell us how OPM is working with the Department of Homeland Security when the Business of Government Hour returns.
Learn how the Bureau of Primary Health Care and the Department of Health and Human Services created a national network of local organizations dedicated to improving access to health care by reading the recent endowment report, Extraordinary Results on National Goals, Networks and Partnerships in the Bureau of Primary Health Care's 100% Over Zero campaign by John Scanlon. For a copy of this report and other endowment reports, visit our website at www.businessofgovernment.org.